Just keep the RAM slots. That's all I ask.
Right.
I'm not asking for the world.
Just RAM. Episode 160. This is episode 160 on Taking Pictures. It is Tuesday, the 19th of May, which means, do you know what it means? Do you know
Tuesday,
what it means?
Tuesday, the 19th of May. No, I don't know. What does that mean?
It means that in 11 days, I will be seeing Rush on their final tour. For the first time. And I'm very excited because apparently they are playing a lot of, like, they're playing the old stuff, like Cygnus X1 from Hemispheres.
They're going deep into catalog.
Xanadu. Oh, I can't wait to see Xanadu live. I hope Olivia Newton-John is there.
I haven't. Remember that movie?
I do remember that movie.
You watched that, Michael, what, in college?
Michael Beck.
Gene Kelly.
Laurence Olivier playing Zeus.
Come on.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
How do you get Laurence Olivier in an 80s dance movie?
My sister used to watch that movie. And sometimes I think about that kind of thing because I think that was made in what, early 82 or something like that?
Well, if you can Google nine times, I can Google Xanadu.
You look up Xanadu.
1980.
Okay. And Gene Kelly was sort of talking about stuff that was sort of late 40s, right? That was sort of the era that he was supposedly harkening back to. That's like people harkening back to 1980.
Yeah. Music by ELO and The Tubes.
Yeah. Big movie at the time.
Yeah. Also a winner of the Golden Raspberry Award.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. He roller skates into a wall, for God's sakes.
You got to give him some credit.
All right. So what are we talking about today? Last week we had a big giant blow, like a blowout deep dive episode. And where'd you come out?
Well, look, it's all a work in progress, right? And one of the things that I love about our audience and our community is, you know, you guys give me the ability to go through these things and be fairly transparent as I can be about them. And, you know, I got a lot of great email. I got a couple great Twitter messages. So thank you guys. You know, I don't know where I'm going to come out of this. I'm always just moving forward, but I would like to share something, written by Elizabeth Gilbert. You know Elizabeth Gilbert?
She was on Elizabeth Gilbert was on Little House on the Prairie.
No.
Oh, that was Melissa Gilbert.
Right. Elizabeth Gilbert is
half pint.
She's a writer. She wrote the Eat, Pray, Love, that book.
Oh, that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So she wrote something about perfection and I think you will be able to relate to some of this too. She writes, "Do you ever try to make everything perfect? I do, but only always. Life keeps trying to teach me that perfection is not only a dream, but oftentimes a trap. Even worse, the idea of a perfect weapon we can use against ourselves quite brutally. Yet I still try. I want everything to work out for the best. I want everyone to be happy, and I never want to make mistakes." Sound familiar, people?
Yeah, but that's true of everybody. Okay, go ahead.
Even though I know I should know better by now, I still seem haunted by the idea that somehow if I just try harder, get smarter by the day, I can figure out a way to always make everything turn out just right. So it goes on. Maybe we'll put a link to it. The point is there is no perfect. There's no right. Right. Yeah. There just is.
I was thinking about last week's discussion a lot this week, and what I kind of came out with is all the things that you were talking about, everybody's gone through those, right? All of that stuff. It's just whether how much their chemistry or their brains or whatever it is, let it sort of overwhelm them with the indecision in the questions, right?
Sure.
But it's true. I mean, we're all on this journey. We're all taking it one day at a time. Yeah, it's just it's interesting. I was just thinking about all the things you said, and I was like, yeah, but that's all those things that Jeffrey says, they're true of everybody. But I feel like sometimes when you or I say it, we feel like we are alone in that world, when in reality, that is the most common base element of humanity.
Maybe
these battles and questions.
Maybe, but I do think that I spend a little more time in them. I think I let them affect me to the point of often feeling like I'm trying to swim through molasses.
Yeah, you obsess, which is interesting because in some ways, taking her quote, you are looking for perfection in the analysis of the issue, but even that is impossible to reach. Right.
Sure.
You think that if I just keep thinking about it, and I'm along with you on this ride most of the time, I mean, even offline, you know what I mean? Like I have the same thing.
Sure. Sure.
We're so involved in thinking that if we just analyze the question more, we're going to see a solution that has yet to present itself.
Yeah. It goes back to that. My favorite Rilke quote, if you just live the questions, you might live your way to the answer.
Right. However, I think that is a fool's errand in itself because there is no end to that line of questioning.
Potentially, you know, and that, but still, it's the process of going through it.
It's
the journey of going through it. There's a what's the
as
line
long as it in, doesn't overwhelm you is the problem. You know, there is a point at which it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For you, there's a point at which it's actually detracting from the other things you need to do in your life.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, and I try to simplify it. What's the line at the end of Tombstone?
Times. Oh, sorry.
where Doc Holliday's dying and he asks Kurt Russell, he's like, hey, you know, what did you ever want, Wyatt? And Wyatt says something like, just to live a normal life. And Doc's like, there is no normal. There's just life. Get on with it.
Yep.
You know, and it's. There's this sort of reductionism that goes on in my head that I want it to be normal. And I know that I sometimes lack perspective. I got a very nice email from a listener going, look, you have nothing to worry or complain about. Here's my life by comparison. And I won't mention this person by name, but that was a very strong marker. So thank you. You know who you are. Thank you for sending it, because you're right. If I would learn to just get out of my own way, which I am trying to do, much of this would be easier. But then again, subconsciously, that little place in the back of my head, do I want it to be easier?
Yes. Well, that's a bigger question.
Do I want it to be easier, or is part of my fuel the struggle? Do I like being down in the struggle?
Well, then you should go, you know, watch Misery, you know, Misery Loves Comedy, right? I mean, this is, I guess that is all true. My worry as one of your, you know, good friends is that, you know, life is what happens while you're making other plans, right?
Sure.
Lenin quote.
Sure. There, I will tell you, there are big changes in the works.
Okay.
Big stuff. Personally, right. Professionally, cool new projects on the horizon.
Good.
And it's actually in motion. So this is good. And it's one of the reasons that I mentioned Rush at the top of the show, because I'll be going to see Rush. Going
Wait,
elsewhere.
You're joining Rush?
Is that what's I'm joining. Yeah. At the very, they're quitting, but I'm going to keep going.
You're like, I'm going to take over Geddy Lee's thing. I'm going to be the bass and the singer, but we're not going to record or play live at all.
Ever.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm just going to become Rush Enterprises and take over everything.
I'm
going
to wear a Neil Peart t-shirt and that's it. Yeah. Anyway, but more on that later. But exciting to see what's in the works and yeah. So thank you very much everyone for your, consideration, your support, your love. I appreciate it. Anyway,
exciting.
Moving on.
Last week, We discussed, we mentioned that we were going to discuss this Radiolab episode from a few weeks ago called Sight Unseen.
Sight Unseen. Robert Krulich, Jad Abumrad.
I like that. Who do you prefer of those two?
Jad.
You'd choose Jad.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he just seems, I like both of them quite a bit, but Jad seems so obsessed with the minutiae of detail that I think our conversation would consist of no words at all because we would both be thinking about what to say to the other person.
Wait, I'm sorry. This is a good thing?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I like Jad. I like them both. I think they play off of each other very, very well.
Yeah.
I think they fill the gaps in each other's personality approach and sort of radio side manner very, very complimentary. I like them quite a bit.
I think Krulwich grounds him a bit, which I think is a good thing.
Kind of reels him back in. Yeah.
So this episode is about the story of a photojournalist,
Lindsay Addario, who somebody emailed us and suggested as photographer of the week. Yep. And I was going to suggest that to you, but I thought, well, we're going to talk about her.
We are going to talk about her, and we'll put links to her work because her work is beautiful as well.
Yeah,
like independent of what we're about to talk about.
Right, sure.
So she's a photojournalist, and in 2009, she's over in Afghanistan, embedded with the military, and she ends up on a helicopter to go save a guy who's been shot in the field. They take him back. They're doing surgery and all kinds of, you know, extenuating crazy medical things to try to save his life. And she's taking pictures intermittently while they're doing that. And
like not from a distance.
No, like she's up in it, but she's not, as she says in the thing, she's not going snap, 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 snap. She's, you know, taking a picture every once in a while.
Sure.
Which is kind of the way to do that. It was interesting when she was talking about that. I kind of felt like there are a lot of situations where I may get a better picture if I take a lot of pictures right now, but it's rude for me to take a lot of pictures right now.
Sure.
You know, and I think that this is sort of an extreme example of that. So she's taking pictures while they're working on him. He ends up dying. They drape a American flag over him. She's taking pictures throughout all this. And there was now a question of whether or not you can't use those pictures unless you have permission from the next of kin, because this guy didn't give you permission. Like, he was shot at the time. You know, he didn't say, yes, use the pictures wherever you want. So the question then goes to next of kin if there's any sort of recognizable imagery, right, of the guy.
Arguably, they could use the last shot with the flag draped over it.
Because you can't see him.
Right. But anything, you're right, where he's in the helicopter and being attended to. Yeah.
Yeah. So she ends up, she goes through this whole thing, and she ends up getting in touch with the father and family of the guy who died, the soldier. And in the end, she goes to meet them, and was it the Times that she was working with, or Time Magazine? I think it was Time Magazine.
Time Magazine, not the Times.
Right. Okay. So let's say it's Time Magazine. The editors and everyone decided to show this guy, the father, the photographs of his dead or dying son, which is typically something you do not do.
Right.
Right. I mean, even in my silly little portrait work, I can't show the work to the subject before I show it and give it to the magazine and they print it, because there's, like, you know, there's issues, legal issues with that and the whole rest of it. So they decide to show it to, they make the extraordinary decision to show all the work to the father. They show the work to the father, and the father decides that it shouldn't be shown. Correct?
Go ahead.
And so they only used the pictures that they could where the guy was not actually in there. So what we're kind of talking about here is where the line is drawn here between sort of newsworthiness or the rights of the photographer or the rights of the world to know, say, what's going on in a war zone, intersect with the rights of privacy of the family and how all those things change. I thought it was pretty interesting. The whole thing was fascinating. What were your thoughts?
Well, I don't want to even attempt to dissect the legality of it.
No, the legality of it is whatever. It's that's more of an issue of just like you don't show stuff so that somebody doesn't go, I don't like that picture of myself. You know, it causes right. whatever. But yeah, they didn't. Yeah, but
I don't have kids, so I can only surmise what you know the father may or may not be going to, but it seems to be an issue of privacy and dignity. That's not the image that, and again, I'm completely speculating, so yep, please don't sure. beat me up, listeners.
No, you're putting yourself in the place of the father, not saying what the father would say.
Right. I would be of the opinion that this is not the images of my son that are shown to the world, these are not the images that I want.
Okay.
This is not how I want my son represented.
Yeah. If he was some guy in the military in Afghanistan who got killed, there probably aren't a whole lot of pictures of him in the news. And if you search his name, you're going to get pictures of him dead on a table.
More or less.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's hard to get those images out of your head. You know, yeah. It's hard if you've lost a parent, if you've lost a sibling, if you've lost any sort of loved one and you were there at the end of it, it takes a long time to get those images out of your head.
Yep.
So the last thing I personally, again, this is, I'm not projecting, but the last thing I would want is anytime I see a mention of my son's name and I click on it, it's that photo that I don't want to see.
Sure.
It's that image of my son that's not how I want to remember him. And, yeah. You know, there is this idea of, well, the public has a right to know. Well, no, they don't. The public has assumed they have a right to know, but why?
Well, there's the public has the right to know. And there's also the public's opinion of the war could change based upon imagery like this that they don't get to see because of either military censorship or decisions like this by family members, right? There's also that side of things too.
My opinion on it is I think this image shot by Lindsay of the flag over this fallen soldier and the somberness of the mood and the expressions on the faces of the people around him is much more powerful than an overhead shot of a kid killed in battle. Is much more telling of the cost of the war in human terms than showing this fellow's face.
The interesting thing that she says in the show, she talks about how the only problem with just showing the last one is that it's not in any sort of context. That she was taking pictures the minute the guy ended up in the helicopter, taking pictures all the way back, him on the table, extraordinary circumstances, all that kind of stuff, right? That this picture, this final picture that you like and think is most powerful is arguably
I didn't say it was the most powerful because I haven't seen
the other ones, right?
The other ones. I think it is a powerful photograph. And okay. I think I'm making an assumption that we don't need to be bludgeoned with here's this dead person's face to get the idea that this is a horrible situation, to get the idea that this is, I don't need the carnage all the time to get the idea that this is bad news.
Yeah. I guess the question is, do we get much of the carnage at all anymore? All this stuff is so tightly controlled nowadays, you know?
Yeah. I don't think you do as much.
Yeah.
But there are, what is the name of the Bryan Adams project? Bryan Adams.
Oh, yeah. The of the people who came back and lost limbs and stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah, did a series of portraits.
Different. Isn't that different than seeing, you know, the guy with his limbs like blown off in the field?
Yes. Yes. Powerful in a different way.
Yeah.
You could argue that one is more horrifying than the other, yeah. I suppose.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, circa 2015, is there anyone that doesn't understand how horrible war is?
You would hope not.
I mean, do we need to see photographs of soldiers with missing limbs or children?
Well, I will tell you that the perception of things like Vietnam were very much changed by news media and stuff showing carnage versus something like World War II.
Here we are, 40 years beyond, 50 yes. years beyond, coming up on it.
But have we learned?
You
know,
no.
Or so maybe we don't haven't learned it. You know, maybe we don't know it.
Yeah.
Or each generation forgets, which happens all the time, right? I understand what you're saying. I think the whole thing is fascinating. You know what else was interesting? Did you notice in the show where they were talking about when they sent the pictures to the guy, they sent him prints, like a stack of photographs.
Right. Right. You mean, are you in lieu of a CD or something?
Yeah, or DVD? Emailing him the, you know what I mean? Like they FedExed him prints or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting as like a little side note, like both a classy move, the right move, and also harkens. I mean, you get back to the whole object argument, you know?
Sure. I mean, yeah. I interpreted that part of it as
a respect thing.
A respect thing. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I'm not just going to hit the send button and go, "Hey, Bill, you know, what do you think of these shots of your kid?"
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not that. It's akin to, you know, receiving a telegram or a flag, or you're right. It's some sort of object
yeah.
that we're trying to mark this as best we can in the current situation as something important.
Yeah.
That's what I took from it anyway. Part of what I took from it.
I mean, it's interesting. I'm assuming that, you know, she still has these files sitting somewhere in her archive. And I wonder if there was an interesting sort of prologue or post log. What am I looking
epilogue?
For? Epilogue.
Epilogue. Or post
log. where he was talking about his kids. So there's two sisters, I guess they are of the guy. And when they turn 18 or 21 or whatever it is, they get to decide whether or not they wanted to see the pictures. And, one of them says that she does not. And one of them says that she definitely does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an interesting.
So okay. So even within the family,
there's disagreement.
Yeah, there's a different side. There are two different sides of looking at it.
Yeah.
So how do we as unrelated third parties how are we supposed to make sense of it?
No, I just think it's interesting. The idea that somebody sitting in a tent on the other side of the world presses a button on a camera, and then it becomes the decision of, you know, a number of people on the other side of the world who are unrelated except in blood with the person there to decide what happens to those pictures. You know, mm-hmm. it's fascinating.
Now, question for you, kind of unrelated, but I don't know the answer. Would she have been required to get releases from everyone else in the photograph?
Oh, that's a good question. With the military, I don't know. Not for news, I don't think. I mean, I think that if she has permission from the military to be there,
mm-hmm. it's just assumed.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, I think it's because he was wounded or dead. Like, it was graphic stuff.
Right.
They probably had to get the permission. How many people are in that room? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, there's like 15 people in the room.
Right. Now, I wonder if there one, since you're embedded with this group.
Sort of mash group, yeah.
Yeah, is it implied that, you know, once the agreements for that have been made, that you know.
Well, it was interesting in the podcast when she was talking about, you know, she took these pictures and some military guy came up to her and was like, "You can't use those pictures. Like, what are you doing here?" And she's like, I have permission to be here from your boss, essentially, you know?
Right.
So
right.
Even within the military stack there, there is differences of not just opinion, but also what people know, you know,
right. Sort
of
a not everyone got the memo kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Which God must complicate everything.
Right.
What a nightmare trying to work all that out.
I wonder if the father's opinion will change over time. I wonder if it's because it's so fresh in his mind. If she said, look, I'd like to do something.
Yeah, 10 years on.
Right. Or would it come from him? You know, I want these to be, now that I've gone through my mourning process. I've gone through the horror that I, again, personally, I can't imagine of losing my child. But I do want, in the right context, to the world to see, you know, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the case.
It's a very, very good question, and I do not know. I also think it's interesting. I mean, you could also argue that it also has to do with the way that the father sees the war effort, you know?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. But that's
if he was really anti-war, he may say, I want these pictures out there. I want to see what you people did to my kid, or, you know what I mean? Whatever political statement.
They become something different entirely. Yeah. I mean, wow. I didn't even think about that part of it.
In some ways, it's also an interesting angle and sort of similar to the shooting pictures through windows thing. Is like, what right does society have to benefit from the art or the things that are made, art in a more general term, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, lowercase, like, art.
Yeah. What responsibility does Lindsay have to say, no, I made this thing in this moment existed, and the world, not like has the right to know about it, but like the world would be better off if these pictures were perfect. Like society has some sort of power in this, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about it.
It's that's the kind of stuff that's the direction that I go when I think about this kind of stuff, where it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about the guy. Yes, it's about his family. But isn't there a larger question here of what are we doing? You know, I guess war in general and stuff, you know?
Right.
It's interesting. Anyway, if you haven't listened to this, you should go listen to it. It's really great. Sight Unseen, Radiolab. We'll put another link in the show notes to it just in case you guys.
Yeah. Link to her site too, because she's got a number of, really incredible, photo essays.
Could you imagine trying to, organize, see, like, for somebody like me, it's easy. I can just organize everything by the subject's name most of the time, right? If I'm doing just straight portraits. But how do you...
Are you talking about, like, a library? Library type thing?
Like, how do you organize? I mean, hopefully, I guess you have a camera that has GPS in it, so it does a lot of the work for you.
I guess, yeah.
This is the reason why GPS exists in cameras, is for stuff like this.
Well, if you look at... You know, just her stuff, or somebody like Amy Vitale, who you know, is in a different country every week, it seems like. It's got to be just that level of organization, of keeping track of what you've taken, where you've taken it. Once you get, you know, X number of months or years on in your career, that's got to be difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it just becomes this mountain.
And you're often revisiting these places too, I would imagine. Yep.
So it's like, oh yeah, this is the Anwar province in August of whatever versus, you know,
right.
Like, how do you even keep that track? It's nuts. It's crazy. Anyway, something to think about.
I'd love to talk to her.
Which one?
Lindsay.
You should send her an email.
Maybe I will.
You never know, Jeffrey.
Nice. So go listen to Radiolab.
Yeah, man, good show. Did you listen to that Oliver Sacks one, the live one with Oliver Sacks on it?
No.
It was a recent one, and it's sort of the last time that Oliver Sacks is going to be on the show, you know, because he has the liver cancer.
Right.
And it's very, it's pretty heavy, but it's definitely worth listening to.
Yeah. I saw it. I know of it. Okay. Just couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's not mind-blowingly sad. It's just.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. I gotcha. Well, on that note.
Right.
We should probably let's talk about Linda, and then we'll get on to a whole bunch of new stuff and stuff we got going on.
Linda.
L-Y-N-D. You got to come up with a good Linda song.
You had the
Love Boat Linda theme.
I did have the Love Boat Linda.
And Linda.
Hey, Linda. Teach me some stuff. Teach me web design and 3D animation.
What?
And video. I don't know.
Do you lie awake at night thinking this stuff?
Not all the time, no. Okay. But I do.
Sometimes. This episode.
Oh my God. What about a Guns N' Roses one, like a Welcome to the Linda.
Learn some fun and games.
That's right.
We got everything you want. Because we know your name because you put it in when you signed up. We got your email and your phone number. Credit card info too. We got everything you want. We got some learning for you. All right, are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, this episode is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform. We got 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. You can get a free 10-day trial by visiting Lynda.com, LYNDA.com/OTP for on-taking pictures. It's for problem solvers. It's for curious. It's for people who listen to this show and want to make things happen. If you want to figure out how to use DaVinci Resolve or Lightroom or Photoshop, or you ever use the software like that comes with your camera? Does Fuji give you software, or do they just say use Lightroom or something?
You know what? I don't. Yeah, they do. They have it's called Silky Pics.
Okay.
Right.
I don't even think I've ever taken those CDs out of the box.
They're still shrink wrapped.
All right. Well, once you're done with your pictures and you want to put them on a website and you want help building that, or you want to, you know, boost your skills for negotiating with clients, go to Lynda.com and feed your curious mind. There's a bunch of stuff up there for photography, photographing the night landscape. Shooting night photographs is super fun and super hard unless you do it right and have a really heavy tripod. You should go check out their 25th anniversary Photoshop microsite, which actually has a lot of really good videos. That's Lynda.com, LYNDA.com/25PS. And that's completely free. You can go watch Burt Monroy talk about Photoshop and Katrin Eisman and some other people on there. And they actually have a thing in there, Jeffrey, where they show a guy doing a layout before Photoshop.
Right.
Like where he's like, okay, I need to know what my layout is. I had to get type laid out. So that takes 2 days. Right. And I get that back and I don't like the letting. So I got to, you know,
I got to find somebody with a big stat camera and I got to do this.
Yeah, exactly. No, he goes through the whole thing. It's fascinating. Wow. You can go the Black and White Project, creating a dramatic landscape with Lightroom and Photoshop, Chris Orwig, or Advanced Photoshop, or Advanced Color Workflows for Photographers with Joe Brady, which I watched some of. That was actually really interesting. So I've been taking lots of Lynda.com courses, over the past few things. I was actually learning about, programming, what's the new Apple language?
Swift.
I was learning. I never opened up whatever the Apple IDE is. What's it called? What's their software called to make software? Why am I blanking?
I'm totally spacing on
their Visual Studio, whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's actually got all these crazy things where you just drag stuff and it sort of adds code in. It's kind of neat. So with your Lynda.com membership, you can watch and learn from top experts who are passionate about teaching, stream thousands of video courses on demand, learn in your own schedule.
Xcode.
Thank you. You learn at your own pace. Courses are structured so you can watch them from start to finish or consume them in bite-sized pieces. I've done that. I've gone on and found a chapter or two of a particular course that I thought would be interesting, even though it's like, oh, I know that stuff at the beginning and I'm not interested in that stuff, but I want to watch these 5-minute videos here. And I throw them over to my phone and I watch them on the subway on the way into town if I have to go in. You can browse each course transcript via text. So you could search for a particular word and find the spot in the video where they talk about that, which is super great. You can take notes and refer to them later. And you can always download these tutorials and watch them on the go on your iOS or Android device, which is super handy, and save playlists so you can share them with your friends. Your lynda.com membership will give you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for one flat rate. Whether you're looking to become an industry expert, you're passionate about your hobby, or you just want to be like Jeffrey and learn something new, go visit lynda.com/OTP, sign up, get your free 10-day trial. We thank them very much for their support of On Taking Pictures.
They got to come up with something called Learnify, like Shopify or Spotify, but Learnify.
Lynda should buy that. It could be Learn with an L-Y at the beginning.
Right. Look at that. Boom. Learnify.
You guys can take that. Just send us a check.
Right. Damn.
It's a magical experience.
Right. You heard it here.
Yeah. All right. What do we got?
I
was banned from Instagram once.
Well, you know.
By my own mind.
Because you post those selfies. You got a little too crazy with the selfie stick.
Actually, I used the selfie stick the other day.
Oh, Jesus.
Somebody actually gave me a selfie stick right for my birthday. And so I used it. I strapped it down on a bike and used it as like a little holder for a phone or a little camera.
Worked you went great. All Casey Neistat.
Apparently. I don't know.
Yeah.
So this guy got Sam Roderick. Roddick? Roddick.
Sam Roddick.
Riddick. got banned from Instagram for unknown reasons and or rather
not, no not really. Not really well, unknown.
Okay. Someone didn't like his pictures for whatever right. reason. Community guidelines or what have you. And they shut down his account and he has no recourse. Is that the gist of it?
Yeah, but Sam's a her. So
that's, oh, I'm sorry. My yeah. bad. Okay. Sam. My bad.
So yeah, currently has a show at the Michael Hoppen Gallery.
Yep.
Hidden Within, which explores the themes of voyeurism and the male gaze. Voyeurism comes back around. Had been posting Always. Pictures of furnishings and fittings in her home, many of which were recently featured in the Sunday Times style supplement. Essentially, Instagram appeared mortally offended. Mortally offended.
Instagram was mortally offended? Is that the argument?
Apparently, that's the by a cornice in Roddick's home that was designed to resemble a vagina.
This is a really tough place to be. This whole, I think this is the part of the problem with having this more app-based world around us.
It's just very, this is odd to me. So Georgia O'Keeffe, vagina-based flower, okay, art, Sam Roddick's vagina-based cornice, porn.
Well, art, it's not like George O'Keefe is today putting that painting on Instagram.
But she might.
Yeah. This is the problem with having somebody in the middle who gets to make these sort of decisions, you know?
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
The same thing could be argued with Apple or Google and their app store. You know, it's like, we don't want your app in here because we find it offensive. Well, who finds it offensive, you know? Even if it's not pornography, what if it's, you know, there was a thing out there once that was, I remember there was an app for iOS that marked down on a map where drone strikes had been.
You know, like on a Google map type
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, essentially, oh,
okay.
yeah.
Okay.
And
okay.
So you could go in there and go look at where drone strikes were and learn like how many people died on each one or whatever. You just click on like the little buttons, right? Like the icons of where on the map they were. And I think I'm pretty sure this is the story. And it got taken down by Apple because it was, you know, deemed offensive in some way or, you know, somebody complained or whatever it was, right?
Huh.
But see, I mean, this is the kind of stuff. It's like you have somebody who is not the public, not the consumer, and not the creator in the middle deciding whether something is worthy of being disseminated.
Well, and it seems like the lines are moving and blurry as well. Yes. According to this article, go ahead.
No, true. Go ahead.
According to, according to the article, this is but the latest in a series of Instagram censorships, which include removing images of pregnancy stretch marks, banning mothers who post images of themselves breastfeeding, and the removal of images posted by photographer, Rupi Kaur?
Okay.
R-U-P-I-K-A-U-R? Gosh, I hope that's right, and I'm sorry if it's not, because they showed her menstrual blood.
Oh, right. The one of her laying down, right? That famous picture.
Petra Collins was also banned for showing an unshaven bikini line.
Right. Yeah.
So you can read in this article Sam's comments about the whole event. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And to your point, when you agree to the terms of service, then this is partially what you're agreeing to.
Right. However, what responsibility, and I'm not saying legal responsibility, but moral responsibility, do these big companies have to ensuring that they don't become dictators within their own despots, within their own little worlds that they set up, yeah. Okay. I can set up Instagram and okay. So don't use Instagram that's where the people are. So you kind of have to go there if you want to get to the people, mm-hmm. So then by way of that, people start to censor themselves so that they don't get kicked off Instagram, And where does that, so people are now censoring themselves because of the realities of companies and their opinions about their work. It gets into a crazy place. It's why I always kind of start with stuff on my own website and then share it from there, because then,
sure,
when possible, that's you have control over it.
She points out the sort of hypocrisy in some of this, where she writes, Instagram say they do not permit nudity or sexual suggestion, but a huge percentage of what's being posted on Instagram is sexualized imagery and are in fact nudes. The issue is that this hypocrisy is dangerous, and the images they are censoring versus what they're permitting is normalizing the worst of sexual imagery while banning artistic, emotionally layered commentary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
getting in the weeds of misogyny in society and all the rest of it. Sure. Absolutely. That's a big giant mess, and who knows where it all ends up, mm-hmm. I wonder if anybody actually, I feel like there are so many pictures going up on something like Instagram, and you have 100 million accounts putting stuff up. Is it an automated system? Is it waiting for somebody to complain? I never noticed. Is there a way to put a complaint in?
I would love to know how that works. Is there some sort of...
Is it enough for me not to like you personally that I can complain about your pictures and therefore...
Yeah. And how is it, how are these photos flagged? Because you're right, there are so many being posted.
Right.
It has to be, tens of thousands per minute. So what are the behind the scenes mechanics? There can't be a team of auditors sitting there looking at every image.
The triple dot icon in the app gives you an option for report inappropriate. But here's the thing, you sign up to follow somebody's work, so just don't follow mm-hmm. their work. It's not like there's some master stream of Instagram where if you're looking at Instagram at all, you're going to get this person's stuff.
Right. And to the point that several weeks back that John Keatley made, Instagram is a platform, and I agree with this, that you follow people for a particular point of view. You follow them for a particular style of photography. So in that respect, you should know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
When you say, I want to follow this person.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It's not just being pushed to you.
I don't know. It's a mess. The problem is that, that she said, there's no recourse, right? She has no...
No, has once the ban hammer comes down, that's it.
Yeah.
Like Amazon.
Man, that would suck.
Yes.
I was telling you before the show, I got banned from Uber recently, even though I've never actually used my Uber account. I signed up for it a few months ago and never got around to using it because I don't really like their practices. And then I went to go use it recently and they're like, your account has been banned. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, right. I didn't get an email that said, hey, by the way, there's been weird activity on your account or something like that. It was just sort of like, boom, gone.
Right, right.
I understand the company's angle, but it's also sort of an untenable situation. I don't know, got to figure something. There's got to be a better answer.
To piggyback on that.
Yep.
This post on Taxi.
Yeah.
At first glance, you look at these photographs and they look like feathers. Sort of the Forrest Gumpy kind of feather floating in the wind.
Yep.
But you zoom in and zoom in and zoom in and you realize that each of the what do you call those parts of the feather?
The hairs, I guess, for lack of a better term. The filaments.
Feather.
Yeah. Are actually made up of
people. They're made up of people, of nude bodies.
Yeah. How many pictures did these people, does this person take to get this?
Many.
Angelo Musco. I wonder if he, God, how did he even do that?
It's insane, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's,
this
it's
is
just,
insane.
So what you're looking at, listeners, we'll put links in the show notes, is, again, each filament or whatever, I'm sure there are ornithologists out there that can correct us, but each little strand of the feather, even the spine of the feather, are made up of interlocking
people,
nude bodies.
Okay, Jeffrey, just from a practical point of view, say you could get 6 or 8 people over to your studio to do this. You're shooting them in 12 different angles, all on black or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I mean, he must be reusing people a bunch or something. You can't
You
can't take 600,000 pictures, you know what I mean, to actually do this. Like, that's just not practical.
No, it's gorgeous, though.
Oh, it is. Those are really, really
okay.
Cool.
So, my question is,
if that was on Instagram.
Right. So let's say you post the photo of the entirety of the work. So we're pulled out and we see the feather.
Yep.
Instagram's okay with it.
Yep.
Probably.
Yep.
But then you post, the nude, like a detail shot, you know, zoomed in 50 times.
Yep. Banned.
Maybe. Right.
And how many times do you have to be flagged inappropriate till you're banned as a user?
Right.
It's the problem is, you're right, is that it's not that there are rules. It's that the rules are vague and they're a moving target. They're constantly changing. You have no idea, you know, how many times you would have to do it before you get kicked off. Like, I mean, it's that kind of stuff that's just a mess.
Right. In preparation for these amazing pieces, Musco has gathered real life models and photographed them in specific poses. Tweaking the colors and shadows using Photoshop, Musco manipulates the bodies into tiny and joined figures that form the strands of the feather. I was absolutely just blown away by this. And the photos, the prints are giant.
Well, they have to be,
you know,
so you can
like
see the
6 by 8 feet, these giant photos of feathers on black.
You kind of think that, could you imagine the amount of work in Photoshop to do that?
No.
I mean, this person must be more than a little OCD. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, this one photograph here, this one photograph, it kind of sums it all up here. I'm going to paste it into Skype for you. Maybe we can include a link.
Sure.
It's the full feather with a loop, magnifying loop over one section of it. And you can see kind of what's going on beneath. Although even that looks like a composite. Maybe
it's
not.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's gorgeous stuff. So just thought it was real different too.
Yeah, no, it is totally. Hey, next week we're going to talk about a different article because people seem to like this thing where we tell them what we're going to talk about next week so they can get up to snuff and know,
yeah, and this is a long article.
So that they know how they're going to complain once we talk about it.
To you. I don't get complaints.
I get
letters of praise.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This is an article in The Atlantic called Death of an Artist, The Birth of the Creative Entrepreneur.
Yeah. Fascinating article.
Yep. I'll put a link in the show notes.
It traces kind of the roots of the artist from almost sacred solitary genius, they call it, up to what they're calling creative entrepreneurs, and how these changes have happened from the apprentice culture of craft and artisans through the sort of rock stars of maker culture that right. we've sort of elevated these people to.
Yeah, we're going to we'll discuss this next week. It looks like it's good stuff.
Yeah.
So go check it out. The Death of the Artist and the Birth of the Creative Entrepreneur
yeah,
by William Dershowitz.
Looks the way. Yeah. Dershowitz. Yeah.
Sure. Those names like that are always really hard for me to read.
From the January, February issue yeah. of The Atlantic.
So pick it up if you, well, that's probably old now. Go to your library and remember
that animated GIF freaks me out.
I know. I was just staring at that for a minute while you were talking.
Falling it's so into pretty.
I want to make it really big, like the size of my entire monitor, and just like stare and like fall into the hole for the rest of my life.
Right.
Did you hear about this guy who died at Yosemite last week?
Weren't Base there two jumper? Of them?
Yeah, two of them.
Two of them. Guys. They were doing the wingsuit thing.
You know what's weren't a really they? Bad idea? Jumping off of mountains with a wingsuit on. God, that's dangerous. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for the guys, but man, they were laying it out there.
Yeah, two base jumpers die on wingsuit flight in Yosemite. Dean Potter.
Yeah, Dean Potter. He's a famous guy.
Apparently, yeah. Graham Hunt. Attempting to soar above Yosemite Valley and El Capitan. The pair attempted their wingsuit flight on Saturday around dusk, a time that National Geographic says that many athletes choose for base jumping, which is illegal in all of America's national parks. They were found Sunday by a search and rescue helicopter. Yeah,
I guess that's more to the point, is that, yes, you can do that, but it's illegal to do it. And it's illegal to do it because people die doing it all the time.
I would, and I'm not making fun of them at all.
Yeah.
But it would never, ever, ever
occur to you to jump off a bridge.
Yeah. Occur to me to be standing on top of El Capitan and go, you know what I'd really like to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is get a running jump and just dive off this thing.
Yeah. Do you ever go rappelling off of like a cliff?
The only thing I've ever rappelled off of is the tail section of a full scale model of the space shuttle.
Oh, where'd you do that?
A warehouse in Canoga Park.
Was it like this is the emergency thing that they do, or is it just for fun?
No, I worked at a special effects company years ago, and we built a full scale portion, two full scale portions of the space shuttle for an aerospace museum in Venezuela, in Caracas, Venezuela.
Okay.
And the nose or the front piece had a motion control platform in it. So they could simulate what it was like to be launched out of the space shuttle, to experience a space shuttle launch, and we built a full scale tail section with the engine cones and everything on the back of it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did some rappelling in college, and then do Australian rappelling where you, instead of going down backwards, you go down with your front facing the ground. And you walk down the...
Oh, like they do in the movies where they run down the building?
Yeah, I did that. Dun, 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 I will tell you, I'm terrified of heights, but like once you start trusting the rope, then you're, you know, the stuff with the ropes I think is crazy at times, but I can totally like, okay, that makes sense. If you screw up, you're not going to die, most likely. But these people who free climb and jump off of stuff?
Nope.
No. Do you see that video recently of some... Russian, you know, like another one of these like Russian guys who climbed up to the 60th floor of this building and was jumping between the cornices off the edge of the building.
No. Uh-uh.
I'll see if I can find it and turn nope. it to show.
Nope. Keep it. Don't need to see it. My God, I would get hives just watching it.
Yeah, it's nope. It totally feels like that. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right. So what else you got?
Another thing I wouldn't mind talking about next week, if you get the chance, folks, is Rankin. I'm a big fan of Rankin.
I love like Rankin too.
I love his work. I think he's got this just fun personality, seems to really love what he does, seems to really value the relationship and the interplay between himself and his subjects. And he's always out there working. I mean, he's always looking at making new stuff. He created Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Right? The magazine?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
which is now Dazed Digital. Hunger TV, which is another project by him. And he still shoots all the time.
We will put a link in the show notes.
So there's a cool interview with him on Vogue Italia.
Is it in Italian?
No. There is also, I don't know what the context is. I'll show you this thing offline. There's a video that he collaborated with another fellow, and it's for this, it's for their, I think it's for their erotic TV week or erotic week on Hunger. Anyway, the thing that I was thinking about was, has advertising gone too far?
Yeah.
Are we at that place where there's nothing even subtle about the way sex is being used to sell product anymore? And have we gone too far? So maybe we can talk about that next week.
Sure.
And we'll put a link in
put a link in the show notes.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, I didn't see this until you mentioned it this morning. Apparently, Apple has reduced the cost of their iMac with Retina display to $2,000.
Yeah. Well, and they've boosted. They're using the Broadwell chips now.
Yeah. Yeah. So
last night, Apple updated two things: 15-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display. And new iMac, $500 less than it was last year, and faster chipset, better video card.
Let me ask you a question. Have you actually tried the new trackpad in a store? Have you actually pressed it?
The Force Touch? Yeah. It's fascinating.
It's creepy.
Yeah. You'd swear that there's switches in there.
Yeah.
It feels like a mechanical trackpad.
Yeah, yeah. Although, you know, it's funny. Everyone is always just like, oh, it's great because you can press it anywhere on the thing. Where the old one, it was like, I never really had a problem with the old one where, ooh, I'm trying to press it up top and it's so hard to press. Like, I like how people come up with problems after the problem has been fixed, quote unquote. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's the same thing with like the scissor switches and the keys. It's like, oh, it was such a problem because they were wobbly. I'm like, I never really noticed the keys being that wobbly on my keyboards. But
I'm of the camp that doesn't like the new
keyboard
MacBook
switches.
Yeah,
that it's too short of a throw.
Yeah, it feels like you're typing on an iPad. It feels like you're typing on glass. There's not enough of a throw in the key.
I agree. I like keys that have more stuff. Although, I mean, if it were up to me and I was living alone, I'd probably be using a mechanical keyboard right now, like a DOS keyboard.
Okay, so.
But they're too loud at night. So
speaking of which, my friend Mark just got a new Corsair keyboard.
Okay. Like brown switches
it's got the brown switches in it. So for those of you who don't know, the mechanical switches are color coded with different colors representing different pressure, throw length. Is that fair?
Yeah, the company Cherry that makes these switches, they all work slightly differently, these mechanical switches and the keyboards, and they're like, they call them different, like they're different keys or different colors. So it's like blue, is it blue switches, brown switches, red and something else, right?
Right.
Blue, brown,
right.
Red and something. Anyway, so they all just feel slightly different. It's not the actual color of the key. It's just like,
although they are color coded so that when you remove the keycap,
it's blue underneath.
You know that it's a brown
and
a lot of people do is they'll like for gaming, for example, they'll replace WASD and the arrows
with even faster switches.
Yeah, with something that takes less travel.
You know, the classic is the original, the old school IBM keyboards, right? The Model M keyboards, which you can actually still buy. The company that used to make them for IBM still makes them, and you can, called Unicomp.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually go get black keyboards that are exactly identical to the old ones with USB. The problem with all this is that if you use a Mac, all the keys are wrong, right? So you got to get them switched out, which you could do with this Unicomp place. They're $100 for like these cool ones.
The one that that Mark got, it's the Corsair K50.
Oh, okay.
And they're backlit.
And here's a link to that other one. The problem with these keys is that they're loud, right? So if you're the kind of person who a lot of times, that's like a gaming keyboard, huh?
Right.
Yeah, that's not messing around.
They're all aluminum.
My problem with these is that it's like ka-chink, 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 or you know what I mean? There's a feel to it. And especially if you are near somebody who's trying to sleep, this is a problem. But yeah, anyway, so the keyboards are good. I just bought a new one of the Apple ones, the wired ones. I got rid of the wireless. I don't like the wireless.
Well, the wireless ones, they don't, to my knowledge, they don't make the wireless with the keypad.
No, they don't. And I use the keypad. I know. Yeah. And I've gotten used to it. And so I've gone back to it.
Okay.
What else?
So also, gear related, yep. New Panasonic G7. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
G7.
Why am I standing up and taking notice?
4K video for $800 with the lens.
Boom.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So 16 megapixel stills, 4K video, and you can pull stills out of the 4K stream.
It's an amazing world we live in.
So articulated screen, touch screen. So it's, you know, if you're into 4K and you want to, and you don't want to, you know, drop the coin on the GH4.
Right.
This might be.
How much is the GH4 compared to this?
GH4 is $1,699 body only.
Okay.
So this is, I think it's $1,699. This is half price with the lens. Comes with a 1442.
That's a lot of pixels.
Or maybe it's $1,399 for the body, but still.
Almost twice the price after you get a lens.
Right, right. And it's crazy. Not, it's, you know, it does it have the weather sealing and then the yeah, magnesium yeah, 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 build yeah. quality? Probably not. But
I'm sure it's fine. Know. For $800, buy two. Know what I'm saying?
Right. I just want one. Hey, because, you know, Gary Yost said that you know, one of the things that he suggested was for shooting interviews, you shoot a little wider mm-hmm. with 4K.
You can crop in digitally.
Crop in, yeah. And you export, if you're exporting at 1080, then it, you know, you get the appearance. It's not exactly, but you get multiple the appearance shots. Of multiple cameras.
Yep. Yeah.
He's a clever one, that Gary Yost.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Oh, we're on to the assignment. What's so Wait, last?
What are we at time wise? What are we at?
We're at almost exactly over an hour.
Almost exactly over an hour.
We are 1 hour, 1 minute, and 62 seconds.
Daily routine.
See, I just did 62 seconds and you missed it. But go ahead.
I got you.
How did daily routine go?
I just didn't find it all that entertaining.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah, Normie.
daily routine. Not a lot of stuff up for daily routine, which I can understand that.
I will say that the Peter Mello pictures from this morning for daily routine are pretty great. The snow one.
Yep.
Did you see the snow one? That's great.
Yep. I did. But lots of other stuff being posted. John Jennings, Boardwalk at Goose Island. That's pretty neat. I would like to go to there. James, nice camera collection, James. James Bowman. Looks like you've got a couple Electro Yashica Electro 35s. Look like you got like four Electro 35s. I have one, but the shutter sticks. The shutter button sticks.
I like the Dennis Skayum picture of the sky with the apartment buildings.
Yep. You know what? I should have posted, and I posted it to Instagram, but I should have posted it here. Maybe I'll do it right now. My picture from running the other day, because it's almost a daily routine. I run almost every day and I was out running and got some cool stuff. So I think I'll post that.
You should do that.
Yeah. So lots of good stuff.
All right. So what do we got for next week?
Anything so to this next one, partially inspired by my run, Horizon.
Horizon.
Horizon. What do you think of that?
I think people are going to end up throwing their cameras into black holes. It's going to not be able to post.
Event Horizon? Yeah. So then next week will be Singularity.
Ba-dum.
Yeah. Wah, wah.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Horizon, got it. I like Horizon.
Of course, those will all have to be in black and light. Ha!
Oh, God.
Black and light.
You come up with these... Yeah. Have you ever done stand-up?
No.
Don't.
Oh, there it is.
Good.
Okay.
Hey, I like your photographer of the week this week. I didn't know about this guy. Christopher
this
the brother.
Guy. Right. Okay. So the reason this is going to be to pull from your vernacular, a circuitous explanation.
Oh, I see what you did there.
You see what I did there? For those of you who don't know, Bill had a show called Circuitous Conversations with...
Dan Gottesman.
There you go.
You can still go listen to those. There's 100 episodes of that somewhere.
So this is a guy called Gregory Nolan. And the first introduction into Gregory Nolan's work that I saw was he spent a year on tour with a band called Bastille, a British band.
Okay.
And documented them in a book. And I'm fascinated by rock and roll photography. I'm fascinated by the access or lack thereof. I'm fascinated by the energy that's often captured. I still believe that Annie Leibovitz's best work, to me anyway, was her early stuff, on the road with the Stones and that era, sort of 70s era.
Back when you could get access. I was discussing this with somebody, a photographer recently. Who the hell was it?
About getting access?
Yeah, and how nowadays it's like there just is no access.
It's sure difficult. And there's controlled access and controlled sort of release.
Much like with the military.
Yeah. So Greg Nolan, rock and roll photographer. If you go to his site, and we'll put a link in the show notes, and click on the blog button, you can get kind of an overview of the style of stuff that he does. And he's got some great pictures from Radio City, really cool stuff of like Arctic Monkeys, St. Vincent. But he's also spent a good deal of time traveling through the United States. And in this particular entry, he writes, "In travel photography, I look for the startling and unexpected, the stillness amid the wildness, or the surprising play of color or texture in what seems familiar. I hope these images of landscapes, cityscapes, and wildlife capture your imagination as they have captured mine, with a sense of awe, playfulness, or reflection." So he's spent some time traveling through America and photographing some, and he's from Ireland, so he's I think he's from Dublin. So photographing some of the things that we find and hold dear as sort of iconic landmarks.
Yep.
And I love his eye. I think he's got a great eye. I like the way he tones his images.
Yeah, I was about to say that the processing is really nice.
Yeah, he doesn't overdo it. Things aren't, heavy-handed or ham-fisted in any way to me.
Yep.
And he's got a pretty reasonable set of prints available as well. $75 or 75 euro, I should say, for a print.
Yeah, they're good. I'll tell you, man, especially the Western United States, really something.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who haven't gotten it, if you're in the US and have only ever been to the East Coast and haven't gone out West, go out West on your next vacation.
Yeah.
Just get a car and drive.
He's also done, he's doing a new project called Unmade in Ireland, which is kind of he writes, a collection of intimate and candid photos of musicians in their rehearsal spaces, homes, and workplaces. And there's a link to the project, unmadeinireland.com.
Nice.
Yeah, really just seems like a good guy, seems like he's enjoying what he does, and he seems like he's able to create or at least foster a very comfortable scene with his subjects.
You should contact this guy. He's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like his work a lot. So, Gregory Nolan.
Gregory Nolan, Christopher's son.
Christopher's son. Is it? I don't know.
That'd be funny if it was.
And it looks like, is this a Squarespace site? Looks like a Squarespace.
It does look like a Squarespace site.
With the little social icons in the top right there.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a really well done Squarespace site. It's cool.
Yeah, nice stuff.
Good find. Gregory Nolan, I like that guy. Can I ask a question or a request of the people?
I don't speak for them, but
hey, I was thinking about I was thinking about buying one of the new USB 3 Drobos for storage that I would also back up other places, but I want a nice big external chunk of storage, and they are currently $220 on Amazon. So if anybody out there has one or has experience with them and does or does not like them, let me know, because it looks pretty good. So I was going to get one and give it a shot. Podcast@ontakingpictures.com. That's your problem. Podcast@ontakingpictures.com. You can reach us on Twitter at Bill Wadman, at Jeffrey Sidoris, and our voicemail, 347-687-9411. We will look forward to Tom from Michigan.
Hey, I wonder if we could do a new thing.
What's
every
the new
once
thing?
In a while. like an Instagram follow of the week.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Not for this week because I'm not prepared, but what do you think? Maybe.
Well,
maybe...
we could. I think a lot of the photographers we're choosing now probably have Instagram feeds as well.
Yeah.
Like this guy does, Gregory Nolan.
Maybe a lot. What do you think? A live show next week? You want to try one again?
We try a live show.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll figure that out and try a live show next week. And, you know, hopefully you'll tune in and berate us live.
Endlessly live.
That's right.
But we will tweet that out before we start. So everyone will know.
This little camera, this little G7 looks kind of neat. I like how angular the body design is.
Yeah. See, the Panasonic stuff doesn't feel good in my hands. That's why I don't like it. I mean, I'm sure they're great, but always felt a little wonky to me.
Wow. Going right for wonky.
Everyone's got their thing. It's the same thing with the Sony stuff. Like it just feels too like boxy. You know?
Hey, David Lawrence.
Yes.
Love his daily routine shot. Look at the passenger seat. Goodness. It's got the reflection, just a slight reflection of a power line and nice shot, David. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through. I didn't see that. How did I miss that?
Can't let people go, can you?
You know, I like following people. I like seeing the new work.
It's true.
And he suggests somebody, Tim Ronka. Oh, I like this guy, Tim Ronka. Kind of an Eggleston feel.
Very Eggleston-y.
This guy.
Especially with the car covered up. Come on. Right out of the book. I'm looking at it. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Nice stuff. Good find.
All right. Anything else?
No, this is really good. Right. This is like you know, if you want to get shots like this, drive out to Needles, California.
Yeah. You can get your kicks on Route 66.
That's right. Weird. Oh, this is nice stuff.
All those places are dead now.
Yep. You know who's from Needles?
Who?
Charles Schulz.
Of
the Peanuts.
Oh shoot! I was gonna say he was on Little House on the Prairie too.
No.
No, that was a different.
Oh, movie. Hey, here's the shot that arguably the shot that that Dave used for inspiration.
Ah, I see.
You see that?
Yep.
Well done, David.
Well played.
Well played, good sir. Okay, so. Are we done?
Yes, we're done. Say goodbye.
Say goodbye. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
See you next week. Thank you for listening, everyone. And again, we'll try and come back with a live show. Thank you for listening. Welcome to all the new people. We've gotten a couple nice emails from folks this week. Keep them coming, please. We love getting them.
Yep.
I love responding to emails and commenting and stuff. That's one of my favorite things.
I know you do.
I do.
You're very cute.
Thanks. All right, later. See you next week.
Going on and on the way we are for so long. To any fool, it's plain to see something's wrong. As this way, say what you want to say. So I can hear you think out loud. Going through your thoughts the way I have for too long. It's clear to me the way you see me is wrong. As this way. Say what you will say.